should be starting up there in just a second. Good evening, everyone. Morning to a lot of you, and I guess the middle of the night to some of the others. So it's good to be back, and I wanted to take the time, take a few minutes today and just talk. We've been on several different things for a while. The consciousness, mind. Okay, I've got this. And I wanted to, I kind of titled this one, a little bit of a session today, as encouragement in the spirit. And we've been on the mind, the consciousness, the collective consciousness for some time now. And I would hope that we're all beginning to understand how these things work for us and what it does for us. I want to talk about the encouragement of the spirit now. So all of these things that we've learned and all of these things that we have taken on. I had a little bit of a discussion where that I said, if you're coming into this trying to think your way into it, like I used to know these doctrines and now I need to know these things over here, it's going to be very hard for you to understand, because that's not what this age is about. I wanted to talk to you about encouragement of the spirit. Just feel encouraged that you broke into something new. And don't worry about catching up with anybody. Oh, Brother Parnell's been in this now since 2014, and we got to catch up. Or Brother Joe Gomez, he's so much more further along than us. Every time he writes, I can see that, and I need to. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about catching up. Don't worry about any of those things. Don't worry about what you know or what you don't know, and don't worry about what you don't understand. You know, just enjoy, relax. That's what this age is all about. We know that humanity's mind structure is based on two attributes of the mind. We know that. And those two attributes develop a spiritual, functional, cognitive mind in a person. Those two attributes. Now, those two attributes are carnality, the fleshly mind, an attribute laying within your mind, and logic. Carnality and logic. Logic being the theophany world. Carnality being the flesh world. And you have these two attributes within your mind. And these two attributes develop themselves in two different worlds. Long before we ever took on the attribute of the flesh, the carnality, and all of these things, when it was still just laying in us as an attribute and never experienced, we were well into the theophany world, spoken word civilization, and we developed that mind and in a different world. And then you come to humanity and you took on flesh and you begin to develop another mind or another attribute of the mind. You begin to open it up, and now you have a carnality in its world trying to develop you and to adjust to everything that's out here, and you have a theophany world or a logic world that sometimes its logic just doesn't match up with what needs to happen in the fleshly mind. So you have that little bit of a battle, if you want to call it that, you have that contrast. So we know that humanity's mind structure is based on that way. The two attributes developed in two different worlds. One of them, spoken word world, logic, the word. And the other one was the humanity world, which we are in the present in and are still developing that attribute of our spiritual mind. The two attributes are built in us. They're built in us for conflict, because attributes are eternal, is the best way to put this. And so when you break one open, when you break the veil of that attribute, when the eggshell begins to break away, or however you want to say it, when you begin to sprout new life in an attribute, it's not going away. And the one you had before is not going away. It's just two attributes of the same mind, and now they're in conflict while one has developed and thinks and believes everything that it has developed through its experience as logic. Now the carnality is in the process of developing, and it's changing everything about the logic. It's changing everything. So you got these two attributes kind of in a conflict, in a difference, because they developed in two different ways. So the two attributes are built in us. And they're built in us for conflict resolution. They're built in us for us to sort through. When we do this, it creates a spiritual mind. These two attributes of your mind will bring together both worlds into a livable condition. That's what you're trying to do right now. That's what you're developing, is you're bringing it together to where that you can walk in life in a livable, enjoyable condition, rather than feeling suppressed, stressful, worrisome. Is this right? Is that right? Is should I do this? Should I do that? How come I feel condemned? How come? All of these things are running through your mind while you're developing. And when we do this, it creates a spiritual mind. You come to a resolution with yourself. You come to a resolve and you say to yourself, this is just the way I'm going to live, because this is how it works best for me. So we have that going on. And it's what we termed in another message just not too long ago, the spiritual mind, or a stellar mind. Meaning that a stellar mind is a holistic mind, a mind that can use all of its parts in proper or in sync or in perfect harmony with itself to develop itself. Stellar is holistic, it's cognitive, meaning everything's in gear, everything's working, and all of the mixes, you kind of come across it, you experience it, and you know it, and you make it work for you. Cognitive skills and a cognitive mind that is functioning with all the best option through the sorting process of the two attributes. That's a stellar mind. A stellar mind is a mind that is functioning well between the sorting, or the sorting out in these two attributes, and coming to a reality of, okay, this is how I need to live. This is what I want to do. So we see this going on. And we found when we look at ourselves in such a manner, it brings us to a different look at almost everything. Everything we do, everything we think, everything we say. We found there are three physical dimensions. A three-dimensional spiritual dimension, or what we would call an unseen dimension, and three dimensions that we see every day. And so there's three dimensions of the seen, three dimensions of the unseen, and they are not different persons. They are the person, you. You have all six of those. Now, how do you make those work? Through encouragement of the Spirit. So we have these. And then there is the dimension. We know six dimensions. Six are physical. Six are spiritual or unseen. Six are seen. Six are three are seen. Three are unseen. And we have another dimension. And that is the dimension of discovery. And this dimension of discovery, that takes it takes the physical into the unseen dimensions. The physical, the emptiness, the elements, the measurement, all of those things. This fourth dimensional process will take this three dimensions and pull them into the three unseen dimensions, or it will help them to understand and catch that they're not even a whole person just physically. You, there's a person of you that cannot be seen. It is spirit. And these two attributes, physical, unseen, and seen, these two, they have to blend and become one together. So we see this. There's a dimension of discovery that takes the physical into the unseen dimensions, and it takes the unseen dimensions into the physical. So that sometimes that unseen logic doesn't quite work like the logic that is seen and that is manifesting in the earth. So we go both ways. The physical moves into the unseen and experiences the feeling and the things that are going on, and the unseen is in the physical manifesting and saying, you know, is this right? Is this what we do? Is it? So you're kind of in that whole mix. And it is the dimensional part of us, this dimension of discovery, it's the dimensional part of us that is built for conflict resolution. It is a dimension that builds our soul, that creates our soul, that makes us a living being. And it brings us to conflict resolution. We are able, through conflict of the two attributes, carnality and logic, we are able to work through that conflict and come to a spiritual resolution, an understanding, and live peaceably with ourselves. So that fourth dimension is built for resolve. It's built for mixing together. It's built for bringing all those things that we think of as separate into one. We bring three and three into that dimensional process. The three physical dimensions of emptiness, elements, and measurement, and all of the skills, all of the gifts, the knowledge, and the intelligence, they meet with the three unseen dimensions of carnal, logic, and spiritual. So emptiness, elements, and measurement come into that fourth dimension trying to discover more about themselves, and what they meet there is the three unseen dimensions, the two attributes of carnality and logic, and it's the mind of a spiritual man. And when flesh or physical and spiritual come together like that, it produces a stellar mind. It produces a person that has understanding. So we see this going on. Now, the carnal, logic, the spiritual is for resolve, for resolution, for a better way of life in humanity. With this in mind, I want to take just a little bit of time and discuss encouragement in the spirit. So, I want to bring a little something that I hope will help you. I wrote this down about the individual. When we step into the different experiences for our development, we have an adaptive and an accepting nature that becomes one with our experience. That's why your experiences, you don't forget them, you remember them. If you're telling about someone else's experience over the years, you might forget that because you only learned by knowledge about that. But when you go through a personal experience, your natural spirit, your character, your nature that you're building, what it does is it embeds that. It puts it inside you, and it becomes a part of you so much that we realize we have an adaptive and an accepting nature to take those things on. And that becomes one with our experiences. So the physical and the spiritual are one person. We're not physical trying to get into the spiritual, and we're not spiritual any longer trying to get into the physical. We are the person itself. We have blended together and we've come to one, and physicality and spirituality are the same thing. They are both resurrection. They get resurrected into the dimension of discovery and begin to understand themselves. So we see this going on. We need all of our person to function holistically. That means when we are speaking of a person, when I'm talking about a person in humanity, that person is a body, soul, and a spirit, period. It's not three different things. It is one person, a person that is carrying with it three attributes or three things about itself, which is body, soul, and spirit. And when you stop looking and thinking that the body and the spirit are two different things, or the body and the soul and the spirit are three different things, when you stop doing that and you say, it's me, period. William Branham said that in And Knoweth It Not. He said, you take these three realms and you keep breaking them out, but he said, it's not three persons, it's not three beings, it's the same person. And we need to understand that about ourselves. When we're dealing with ourselves and you're dealing with the body, you are dealing with your spirituality. When you're dealing with the spiritual things, you're dealing with your body, because they are going to change to the resolution that you come to. It's who you are, and it's going to change. And whatever resolution you come to, one or the other or both are going to make changes in order to live here the best that you can. So we see this happening. When the prophet entered the dimensional realm, think about this, a dimensional realm without a human elemental mix about it. He went to the sixth dimension, and he said there was no sex glands, there was no feelings, there was none of that. And they looked at him and they said they couldn't do all the things that he could do. In our present mix, we're seeking to put on a mix that would let us enjoy ourselves. That's what they were saying. We can't eat here. We can't sleep here. We can't do these things here. We need to come back to the earth to do those things. So he went into a realm where there was no human elemental existence, so to speak, like we have. It was a realm where that they couldn't do certain things because they were missing for a season that carnality. They had moved into logic again until they can put this back on. So we see this as it happens, and we need all of our person to function holistically. Now, we do in our present mix many things that they cannot do. He went into the spirit realm of spoken word without a carnality mix. Someone said, is that where we're going to live eternally, Brother Parnell? I don't think so. We created this to live in. Read your future home. Read some of it. We're going to live right here. We're going to live in this dimension. And we're going to enjoy it. And just because they're in a logic dimension that doesn't have all this, does that mean we don't ever get to have it again? If we move on and more keeps coming through here until all of it changes? I don't think so. I think we are going to live with everything we have, and enjoy it and have a good understanding. So we see this. He went into that spirit realm with a spoken word without a carnality mix. And they were very clear to him that they wanted that mix of carnality. Now, Brother Branham was very clear to us. He didn't want this house that ages and dies. He called it a pest house. But I'm not talking about that house. I'm talking about an elemental mix of this house that won't do that. It won't die. It won't grow old. It won't do all that. We do still have another change coming. And so that's what I'm speaking about. And when we build all of this carnality into us, it's not going anywhere. It's not going away. It's not fading away. It's who we are. We are one body, soul, and spirit. That world is just within this world. It's here. And they are living in us. Oh, Brother Parnell, I've heard you say that before, and it's something I can't agree with. They're living in us. I don't know of any example like that. As Eve lived in Adam, as we lived in Jesus, isn't that what he said? Brother Brennan was very clear to us. That wasn't just the male that died on Calvary. The wife was inside him. The bride was in him. They're in us. And they are living in us. As Eve lived in Adam, as we lived in Jesus, there will come a day when they will break out into the world of carnality again. It'll come. And they'll break out into this world of carnality again. Mount Sinai, Moses seen it happen. He went on to Mount Sinai and they begin to break down the dimensions. And he seen them standing in a place paved with pure gold. He seen all the beauty of all the elements and all of the 12 ornaments and everything. And it was all beauty. And there they were. And the elders of Israel were all there. And they were fellowshipping one with another. What was going on? Moses and those people were breaking down dimensionally to where they could become one together. And what was happening is those that were living in the saints, in Moses and in the saints, had now come to where they could break out like Eve did out of Adam and like we did out of Jesus. They break out and they start living. There will come a day when they will break out in the world of carnality again, and we'll see them and we'll live with them. Mount Sinai proves that. Mount Transfiguration proves that. If it would have kept breaking down, who all do you think you would have seen on Mount Transfiguration besides Peter, James, and John, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah? We were all there. And if it would have just kept breaking down, we would have all put on our carnality and been standing right there talking to Jesus. We see this all the time. Mount Sunset proved it. You say, oh, that was just a streak of light in the sky. Did you ever read what Brother Branham said and who he met there and who he talked to and the people that were there and the great group that was there? And just think about it. These things, these mountains proved what we are saying. We saw the world of logic breaking into a world of carnality. Because they're seeking to be here. They're seeking this. This is our earth. This is who we are. And they're seeking to be here. Give me a scripture, Brother Parnell. I need a scripture. Well, if you need a scripture. I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. That was pretty clear. That's all the scripture I need. I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. Do you see those three steps? We all pass through them. We were in the Father, all of us. We were in Jesus, all of us. And now they are all in us. It just keeps moving in that manner. We are encouraged in the Spirit when we fellowship and think on these things. I made a statement. You can't think your way into this understanding. You can't think your way into this understanding or this movement. Paul said, I make myself happy. He went on to say, be anxious for nothing. Paul was trying to tell you there isn't any way that you can come into the understanding for your day and your time except through complete relaxation. Quit worrying about it. Quit trying to read 20 books a year and trying to memorize all the great quotes out of those books. Quit worrying about all that and relax. When you try to enter this place of relaxation, is where we're at, with your intelligence, it doesn't work. You'll do no several work in this day. It's stressful to try to. It's worrisome. It's overwhelming. And there's where the conflict resolution and resolve begins. The carnality and the logic. The logic says, I need to know everything the prophet said. The Bible is an absolute. I need to live this way. I need to act that way. I need to be pure. I need to be holy. I need to be this and that. And here's all the scriptures of all the prophets of all the ages that proves this. And the little carnality, that little guy that's trying to develop, is saying, but wait a minute, that doesn't fit in my day, and that doesn't fit in my life. And you're trying to put armor on me just exactly the way Saul did David. And you talk back at that logic, and you come to what works best. And all of that head armor and shoulder and foot armor might not do you any good, and a little rock in your pocket will do you better than any of it. And David realized that. See, and when we come to that point, when you enter into this place of relaxation with your intelligence, trying to make it work, trying to learn all the little cute little doctrines and things that cause conflict with people, and always be sure and spit them out at the perfect time, you know, when you know that you can actually put people over the edge. Some people like doing that. It's overwhelming, and there's where the conflict resolution and its resolve begins. Don't try to catch up. Don't try to know all that someone else knows. Don't worry about it. If we all knew the same thing, we'd only need one of us, wouldn't we? Just don't worry about it. I don't want to know everything you know. I want to know everything I know. I want to experience it. I don't want the knowledge of it is great. That's secondhand, and it'll help you in life. But the things you will remember through eternity are the things you experience. I am not going to move throughout my eternity and be thinking about what Moses would think about this or all of the writings of Jeremiah. I'm just not going to do it. I don't need it. They had their life. I have mine. So just enjoy what is coming, what's coming to you, and let it build within itself. It will be a spiritual world for you. Your carnality and your logic will encourage your spirit or your spiritual mind. They will feed into it the very best of all solutions. And your stellar mind, your cognitive functional mind will put it into process. It's a part of life. It's what life does. Stop worrying about how it happens. You know, I've ran into these people in life. You ask them what time it is, and they'll start telling you what a Swiss watch does. I don't want to know what a Swiss watch does. I want to know what time it is. So the intelligence part of it is just makes it more stressful. We've come through that already. King David came to a point in his life when he was not yet king. He was a fugitive from King Saul and wanted him dead. King Saul wanted him dead. Israel was under King Saul, and Israel was David's enemy. They were searching throughout the land for David. They wanted him. And He had a group of outcasts, men of Belial, I think it says, outcasts. Men of Belial are men of drunkards and all kinds of, you know, things going on in their life. So David had all the, what today we would call the trash of Israel. And so he was hiding from Israel. He had a group of outcasts. Well, they went to fight for another nation, the Philistines. The Philistines needed some help. They said, if you'll help us, we'll help you. So David went to fight with the Philistines. Israel's against him. King Saul's against him. And he goes to fight with the Philistines. Well, the Philistines double-crossed him and sent another army of Philistines in behind him and stole all their women, all their children, all their goods, everything. Stole it all. So David and his outcasts come back. And some of those that were left over said it was the Philistines. And so David has Saul. He has Israel. He has now the Philistines, who he had been fighting for, were against him. And then all the outcasts turned against him because they said, they took our women and children. We thought you were more spiritual than this. We thought, how did you let this happen? And David, every single part of David's life was presently against him. And I love that very next scripture. It says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. It would have been a good time to, you know, stuck up your middle finger and went your way. Would have been good time to have said, I'm done with it all. Walked away. But something inside David, the Spirit of the Lord, he encouraged himself and he said, he thought back and he said to himself, I was standing in a field with Jesse, my dad, and Samuel the prophet anointed me to be king of Israel. You know that David had to be sitting there rehearsing all those things in his mind. That's how you encourage yourself in the Spirit. Go into those experiences that you've had and feel the experiences and feel the victories and feel the difference in your life and encourage yourself in the Spirit, because there are going to be times, just like what happened to David, when you feel like everything seems to be sorting itself out against you and you don't know which way to turn or what to do. And that's when you encourage yourself in the Spirit and say, in every last condition that I've ever been in, I have never been forsaken. I have never been begging bread. I have never gone through any of these things, and I am still the same son, being blessed, the apple of his eye. I know who I am. And when you encourage yourself in the Spirit, it's a regeneration. It's a regeneration of cells. It's a regeneration of the body, the soul, and the Spirit. It's the total person becoming cognitive and putting on his skills again. And what did David do? He went to work and he got it all back. And it wasn't easy how he did it, but he got it all back, and David went right straight to the throne. The scripture then says something about David when he went to the throne, and it said that he was the apple of his eye. Those things had took time to manifest. And the scripture tells us David encouraged himself in the Lord. Encouragement is a great supporter. Always remember that. No one will support you like yourself. You've got to go inside and find that person that has so many victories under his belt and has overcome so many things. And even though there may be a lot of darkness and failure in between, you know those points in your life, and you encourage yourself in those points and pull yourself out of the conditions that we get into sometimes. Encouragement's a great supporter. When all the odds are against you, we know the rest of the story of David. He walked through many terrible trials and didn't make the best decisions I mean, plenty of times David could have at least made his life a little more relaxing than it was. So he didn't make the best of decisions in some of them. However, I'm sure that many, many times David encouraged himself in the Lord. In the worst times, in the times of adultery, in the times of murder, in the times of his wife's being raped on the housetop by his son, in the times when his son was hung in a tree and killed. Many, many things happened to David that were very, very sorrowful and hurtful. And I promise you, that wasn't the only time that David ever went in and hunted up and began to encourage himself in the Lord. Do that for yourself. The stellar mind can do these things. Carnality and logic will work together to resolve the issues in your personal and collective life. If you'll listen to the working of the two, don't worry. Don't feel condemned over the conflict. Don't feel like, what am I to do? Don't feel like, don't let that take you over. Don't let it overwhelm you. Listen and then make a decision. Be an observer, listen to the carnality and listen to the logic and pay attention to it, and then ask yourself, exactly how is this the best way to work in my life? And then don't worry about everybody else's life. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what they've got set up in their lives. Don't you worry about it. You do what's best for your life and encourage yourself through your experiences. The stellar mind can do that. If you'll listen, you will come to a spiritual solution. You are a city on a hill. You have all you need to work through the issues at hand and through the experience to come to your maturity, your holistic being, your cognitive person. A person asked me this question. I want to know, what is the purpose of your message, Brother Parnell, in humanity? When I read it, I immediately did? I started hunting for my purpose. And something says, stop. No. What are you doing? Where do you think you're going? And I read it again. I went back, and there's that little voice. I want to know, what is the purpose of your message in humanity? So I wrote this down. To each individual, it is different. What does our movement do for you as an individual? And how does it affect the collective understanding and how you fit in? The question is not what it does for humanity. Humanity is going to flow along. But what's it do for you? And you have to say, it's different in every situation. I've said it many times throughout my life. I've been looked at as the devil. I've been looked at as God. I've been looked at as a prophet. I've been looked at as a friend and an enemy. I've been looked at by many of the plants that I shut down in the corporations. I was the hatchet man. But those corporations that I was able to save and those people that I were able to do great things with, I was the savior. I was looked at in every way possible. So what is your purpose, Brother Parnell? It depends on who you are. It depends on how you take it. It depends on how you look at me. And that's my purpose in humanity. I'm not trying to sort out and find something and say, this is my purpose, and then try to force it down everybody's throat. That's not what it's about. We are living here, and we are all influencing one another here. And the purpose is different for every single one of us, depending on the geographical area, the age, where you're at in the family tree, how many people are in your family, were you raised with a mom only, or a mom and a dad, or just a dad only? Did you graduate valedictorian or at the bottom of the class? All of those things influence you and build into the purposes of your life. And the way you accept what I'm saying depends on a whole lot of what I just went through and how you feel. So I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you my purpose. I'm going to ask you, how do you take my message? How do you take my understanding? How do you take me? And that must be my purpose in your life. That's what my purpose must be. Transparency, the condition of being transparent. That's what it means. A city, an image, text, or positive, transparent photograph printed on a transparent plastic or glass, able to be viewing using a projector. So we can see what transparency means, and that's what we're talking about, coming to encouragement in the spirit. The third thing that about transparency is where you and I are at. Being open about yourself, having no secrets, the unveiling of oneself. Have you ever listened to all the presidents and all the politicians and all the corporate leaders and all of them? One of the first things they say in almost every speech is, we want to be transparent. We need transparency in our corporation. We need transparency in our government. And every one of them is hiding so much stuff, it's pathetic. They don't want nothing to be transparent. Well, the thing of it is, with our understanding of who we are, being open about ourselves, having no secrets, or the unveiling of oneself. We're a city within the earth. So many references to the great city, you know that, all throughout the scriptures. Gold is representative in the elements as deity. So a city of gold, a city of God's deity. Twice the prophet saw us, and the prophet John, and he called us a city clear as glass. Another place he said transparent glass, or you're able to see through it. We become a city of unknown. Now, William Branham told us in The Future Home, he said that this city cannot be seen from the outside. You have to be inside it to see it. And that's exactly what we see going on, is many people have not entered into this city. And they are still outside of the understanding of what is happening here. They're outside of the walls of this city, and they don't see a thing. They have no idea what's going on. And this entire earth is the city. And you as a person, an individual, are a city set on a hill. And so they don't see what's going on. And we inside the city see exactly what is happening and have a complete understanding and constantly encourage ourselves. Revelations 21, the building of the wall of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And then in Revelations 21:21, he says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. So we see that the city, the overwhelming part of the city, caught John and caught his admiration, was a city and its streets pure gold. He was just shocked by it. Now, you know, the scripture talks a lot about rich people and how the Spirit of the Lord doesn't really want you to be that manner like they are, in all their jealousies and in all their everything they want and their lusts. But if he's pouring riches upon you, you give them out and you help people all the time. But we see that here, riches doesn't do a whole lot for people. But yet we're saying we're going to go to a place that's paved with it. we're going to go to this place. We're going to be rich. We're going to live in mansions. We're going to have mansions. I'm going to build a mansion so big it's going to stretch here and there. And what for? Wasn't needed here. Why would it be needed there? Because I think there is here. This season is the unveiling, the apocalypse. We as a people have waded into the Spirit. Pay attention to what I say about what the Spirit is. We the people have waded into the Spirit, the dimension of discovery, communication, technology, science, and spirituality. We've waded into it. The ether. We can. Everything can be virtual now. Everything can be virtual. We waded right into this great thing that has all knowledge, all understanding, completely eternal. It was in the atmosphere when Adam was in the Garden of Eden. It was in the atmosphere when Moses was at Sinai. It was in the atmosphere. This ether is eternal. It has been here. It's always been here. And we call it the ether. But William Branham said at the opening of the seals, he said that the Holy Spirit had been bound for 2,000 years by denominational religion. But he said, it is about to be loosed. 1965, 4 and 5, Feast of the Trumpets, and Knoweth It Not, many other books. It's about to be loosed. And what was loosed? Here come the internet. It began to flood. It began to pour out. They began to set up. I remember the first thing was a little bit of email, and then there was this, and then there was that. And today you can pick it up, hold it in your hand, more knowledge, more understanding, and more eternity right here in this phone than what took them to the moon. And we've got it, and we carry it around in our pocket all the time. We have broken into the ether, the internet, the Spirit is open to us, and the whole world is open to us now. But remember this one thing. We brought the Spirit to oneness. There's not two out there. So this internet or this interrelationship that we're having with unseen things, and we're flooding it with all of our knowledge of carnality and everything else, this thing has both a light and a dark side to it. It's just one Spirit. And you can go into the dark web, you can go into the porn, you can go into things that people have unloaded onto that would just shock the socks off of you, the cabal and everything else. And you'd be so shocked. And in that same place, in that same ether, in that same place, is the most spiritual things that you will ever get in all of your life, the most spiritual understanding, and your spirit is connecting with that all the time, and it's flowing through you, and we are connected to it. The Spirit is wide open now. I had a question about this for you to think about. What are you receiving and giving now that the Spirit is pouring out from within all the people? The ether, the Spirit is pouring it out. It's exposing all things. It is the apocalypse. It is the unveiling. What are you receiving? What are you receiving? How are you handling this new freedom of Spirit that helps us to reach to the uttermost part of the world? Right now, men in Africa, women in New Zealand, Philippines, country after country, Ghana, they're watching me sitting here at this table. And all I had to do is push a button over there. And in 7 or 8 seconds, they're looking at me. They're listening to me. What are you doing with all of this? How are you handling all of this? Ask those questions of yourself. Grow to maturity in this. How are you handling this new freedom of spirit that helps us to reach the uttermost part of the world? You have the connection now. Every one of you carrying it around in your pocket. Every one of you have it as a spirit inside you that is connecting up with all of these other things. You have that connection now. You have the mic. You're the one. You're the station. You're the voice that they all can hear now. All you have to do is put it out there and hit the button. And it's all over the place, all across the world, hundreds and thousands and millions. We need to understand this. And what are you doing with it? I will tell you one thing. I was looking through some things. Brother Louis Villamar, he wrote this. We need to respect each other's capacity. There is a purpose for everything. There is no limit in human intelligence. Absolutely the truth. Look at it. We broke in to eternity. We broke in. Someone said, all these human beings, they keep messing around. They're going to break right into the chemistry of the Lord before long. They're going to get into his, and they're going to find out, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, going to? Lord have mercy, we're right in the middle of it. We broke into it years ago. We've been in it. And all I can say to you is enjoy it all that you can. But how are you going to handle it? And how are you going to respect one another in it? Because everything is in it. I wanted to make a comment about it. Capacity. When our actions are in the frequency of love and respect in all that we do, our issues will dissipate. Go away. We respect one another's capacity. If I am a penny and you are a dollar, that's okay. Respect me for what I can contribute and don't put the expectations of a dollar on me. If I get with a group, 99 more of us, I can do all the things a dollar can do. But if I'm just a penny all by myself, don't expect me to be a dollar. Respect me for who I am. Respect me for what I can contribute and don't put the expectations of a dollar on me as a penny. If you do, I'll never be enough to you. Respect one another with love and appreciation and accumulate full capacity from one another. If I need a dollar, I'll collect it collectively. It's in the ether. If I need whatever it might be, healing, whatever it might be, whatever you need, listen to me, it's in you. Connect up with it. There's something in you that connect up to every bit of that healing. Every person that's ever been healed, it's been in the ether. Oh, Brother Parnell, okay, let me say it the way you're used to it. It's been in the Holy Spirit. So we see this. Let's appreciate the contribution of each other. There's therefore now no condemnation. We need to come to this. Which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Paul told you that. I rewrote it for those of you that don't mind. Condemnation is over in Christ. Now walk in your carnality and come to the resolution in your spirit. Just walk in your carnality and enjoy it. And when the Spirit says, well, wait a minute, listen, and then make a decision and do what works best for you. And that's just the way it is. I wrote this and put it out. It's in Jerusalem 5-18. That's not the Bible. That's a Jewish book. But I love this. I rest not from my great task to open the eternal worlds, to open the immortal eyes of man inwards. Into the worlds of thought, into eternity, ever expanding in the bosom of God or the human imagination. I love that. I'm not going to tire of doing what I'm doing. I'm going to do my very best to help you open up your human imagination and let the Holy Spirit work in you. We've entered an age and a season of personal actions. We're past babysitting and ordering people to follow rules. Encourage yourself in that. Don't let somebody do that to you. Encourage your spirit in that. I am free. I don't care what the book says. I'm going to do what's best for me, what works best for me. I am a mature person. I have within me all the spirit that I need. You're not going to add to my spirit. You might add to my knowledge, but I already have the spirit. And we've entered that age, and we're past babysitting, ordering people to follow rules, regulations, and books. We have turned within to become aware of our own consciousness and the functional collective consciousness of the spirit. When this kind of dispensational move occurs, and I read this last week, or the week before, when this occurs, the sense and the feeling of real freedom can swing the inner compass in many ways for a good while. It's just people adjusting to the new way of life. Stop worrying. I personally do not want to disturb that work of the Spirit in people. Every one of us has within us the Spirit to bring our adjustments to the best way that it works in us. Now, I want to encourage you in your freedom of choice and action. I want to encourage you to feel, to let it be your own experience and not somebody else's knowledge telling you what to do. Also, I want you to understand the meaning of those words for me. Someone wrote me and asked me that question that I read just earlier. What's the purpose of your message in humanity? And they referred back to this. So I want to encourage you. Paul was saying, if you just read through all of Paul's writings from one end to the other, everything that we have, Paul was saying, all things in moderation. That's what he was saying. All things in moderation. We need to understand that excessive anything is not what the body requires. And you're a body. You're a body, soul, and spirit. Excessive of anything is not what's required. You're not trying to get that. I want to see you in good health. And excessiveness in chemicals, foods, drugs, alcohol, tobacco, all things such as that will affect your health, both mentally and physically. It will. I'm not telling you not to do it. If that's what you feel like you need to do, I'm not going to tell you it's wrong, but I am going to tell you, think about what it's going to do to your body. Think about what it's going to do to your good health. Think about what excessiveness. Now remember, I said all things in moderation, just like Paul said. Paul said in another place, he said that to the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled, all things are defiled. So what's he saying? A person with a pure mind can do all things in moderation, but a person that's got a mind with defilement in it is just going to go excessive in everything. So we have this going on, food, drugs, tobacco, chemicals. It'll affect your health. The way you act, present yourself in public. Now listen, I'm not going to discourage what you do. Somebody said, you ought to see the way these people act and the way they do now since you did this and since you did that. That's none of my business. The way you act and the way you present yourself in public will affect your relationships with your friends, your family, and your community. It will. It will affect you. It's up to you. However far you feel you need to go, however you feel, whatever you feel you need to do, I am not a part of stepping in and trying to put rules and regulations on things. But just know the effects. You know, my children, when they were growing up, I never told any of them not to smoke. But I had people in my family, I had people across the world that I knew that smoking had really caused trouble in their lives. Everything from emphysema to asthma to cancer to lung cancer to heart disease, all kinds of things. And I knew that. So what I did was put articles in front of my children and said, you know, if you decide to go that route, just remember you're young, and before you get old, this is what's going to happen to you. And I love you to death, and I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to rule you. I'm just trying to help you with the knowledge so you make the best decision. Well, that's what I'm sitting here doing. Chemicals, foods, drugs, alcohol, tobacco, all of these type things. The way you act, the way you present yourself in public, it will affect your relationships. It will affect your health. If you move into those things in an excessive manner, it'll happen. That's all there is to it. And if you do that, just remember, when you get to that point, it was your choices, it was your path, and all the experiences that you learned along the way, don't try to forget them, don't try to lay them aside, and don't try to say, well, I was wrong, therefore I repent. Don't do any of that. It's all yours. And you learn from it and keep it. And maybe you can help someone else that's thinking about that same path. Not accepting and following the normal course of nature in the earth will affect you. Food you eat, the life you live, the sexuality that you practice. If you don't follow the way of natural selection, it will affect your body. Not accepting and following the normal course of nature in the earth will affect your health and your character. It'll change your character because you chose a path that's not normal or not naturalistic to all of the unseen things of this world and what is hinged on and how life moves through it. You're kind of moving against that. So it will affect you. It'll affect your health. It'll affect your character. Nature has a way for life here. It does. Just pay attention to it. Nature has a way for life here. And we created that way before we ever came here. We put in the things into nature that makes all the flow go right through it. We put it there. When we step outside of that nature that we created, it won't present a blessing, I guess is the best way I'm putting it. You'll live, but it won't present the blessings that would be presented to you by living in a naturalistic type world. There are the things that I meant when I said I was not going to impede on any person's freedoms. There they are. I'm not going to do it. I know it does not do you any good to get excessive in those things. But if that's the experience you need, I love you. Just can't go there with you. And it doesn't mean that you're a horrible person. So those are the things that I'm not going to get into, choices and actions. I won't. But you must know what paths outside of Mother Earth and outside of nature and outside of natural selection, what it will present to you. You know, it's up to us as elders, as mature adults, as some who have been through a whole lot of that and come out the other side. It is up to us to put out that information, that knowledge, and that understanding so that some will choose a different path, or some will, at least as they're going through it, know that we cared enough about them to tell them these things. So let's encourage one another in the Spirit. Let's not rule one another. Let's not fight with one another. Let's not get in conflicts with what we can and we cannot do. Let's encourage ourselves in the Spirit. And if someone is living different than you, then the Spirit in them, the Holy Spirit in them, that Spirit has decided that that's the best way for them to go. And you pray for them, and you keep moving the way that the Spirit has shown you to go for yourself. And in so doing, we will encourage one another in the Spirit. We won't be fighting. We won't be causing people to avoid us. We will be enjoying our lives and as much as possible the lives of those who are not like ours. That's what this is all about. Encouragement of the Spirit. You have those dimensions. You have those things in your life. You have those natures of law in your life. Encourage yourself to live by them, to walk by them, to enjoy them, to love the botany, to love the animal, to love the oceanic, to love the air and all that lives there. To just encourage yourself to love all of this and stop worrying about if somebody's doing it right or wrong. And just enjoy yourself and encourage yourself in the Spirit of the Lord. I hope this has helped. And the things in life that happen to us are all what the other day I was reading and it said they're all pathetic. And I thought, you know what? This guy's right. Pathetic. You created the path. You moved in it. And it's all pathetic. Solomon said it's all vanity. It's all vain. It's all, you could go on and on and on. But it's what we built for ourselves to come here and enjoy and live and build the other attribute that we couldn't have built in a theophany world. And that's the attribute of humanity. Enjoy it. Love bless you. Reach into it and enjoy it.